Today's shir is Masechta Beis Daf Chaf Dalad. We will begin in Daf Chaf Gimel Amud Beis at the new Mishnah. It teaches us the Mishnah ain't sodom dogim in a bibrim. A pond of water where the fish swim is called a biber. And the Mishnah says one may not catch fish from a bibrim on Yontif because it's still considered as if you need to catch them. And even though the pond is not as big as the river or the ocean, still it is large enough that when you try to catch the fish, it's considered the melacha tzeda. And even though, as we keep on repeating in our shiurim, on yontif, the halach, the oichal nefesh, we may do melacha of oichal nefesh, still the halacha doesn't allow us to do anything that we could have done from before yontif. And our mission is teaching us that you could have caught the fish from before Yontif and would have not in any way affected the quality of the fish, and therefore we're not allowed to catch fish on Yontif. And Rashi says, even though one could suggest that fish that are caught today, fresh, are better than they were caught yesterday, still, everything is relative. And as we discussed in our previous year, the halach is we may grind spices on Yontif because spices go, the taste of the spices go down considerably if they were ground yesterday versus if they were ground today. However, fish, even though one could suggest that the fish that are caught fresh may be tastier, it's not that much significant difference, and therefore Rishonim explain it may not be caught on Yontif. Other Rishonim have a different explanation. If one is going to come and if we are going to allow the catching of fish on Yontif, then we may allow to catch birds and animals on Yontif. And even though we could say the catching fish may be permissible on Yontif because the taste is better, it certainly may not, one may not catch chayis voifis on Yontif, as we're going to discuss extensively in our coming shiurim. And that's why Chazal did not allow the catching of fish as either. There's a machlokes rishonim. If one did say on Yontif, was he over an issa deraisa, or is he over only an issa derabbanan? The Rosh holds, and he says that is the opinion of Rashi, that tzeda is also mideraisa. The Ran, however, holds that, remembering, as we said, that Melechus Oichel Nefesh is Mutter on Yontif, so if the Tzeda is being done for Oichel Nefesh, it's not Osir Midaraisa, it's only Osir Midrabonim. Tosfos has an interesting approach. Tosfos says the Rashi differentiates between something that could have been done before Yontif versus something that could be done on Yontif. Tosfos, however, has a whole different approach. Tosfos says, as we've learned, that not all melachos, even though we speak of, and so Yerushalmi, that even though we speak about oichel nefesh being mutter on yontif, it doesn't mean that all melachos are mutter. And tzeda is one of the melachos that are asur on yontif. The Rambam says that the isser of tzeda is connected to the isser of muksa. Since I couldn't designate the fish that's in the ocean, the fish that's in the pond, cannot have been designated on Yontif. So therefore, before Yontif, that fish is Osir. The Magen Avraham, in Erechayim Siman Tuf Tzadik Zayin Sif Katan Vav, quotes a Marshal that says, in catching fish, there is no Issa Melechet Seida. Because he says, as we know, all the Melechets are modeled after what was done in the Mishkan. And the Mishkan, they did not catch fish. He says the Isser of Tzeda is connected to the Isser of Koitzer. Koitzer means that if you pull something out from where it grows, and says the Magen Avraham that taking a fish out of the sea, wherever where it's swimming, is considered Koitzer. Moreover, the Rashi tells us that fish are not considered something that we're obligated to feed, And therefore, since we're not obligated to feed them, that's why we're not allowed to feed them on Yontif. Certainly, according to Rabbi Yosef Aglili, who we learned on Daf Chaf Aleph, holds that on Yontif we're not allowed to do melacha on behalf of an animal. So if we're not allowed to do melacha for any animal, fish are no exception. But even according to Rabbi Kiva, who said that we are allowed to do melacha of oichel nefesh on behalf of an animal, who we held that when the Torah Kedoshah says, "Ach asher yoichel chal nefesh hu yivadu yosulachem," and therefore we're allowed to feed and do and prepare food on behalf of animals, fish are different. And the reason that fish are different, because aim is in asa alecha. Fish are not animals, are not something that we're obligated to take care of. What some explain, because the fish, the simplest pshat, have water and the earth in the sea where they swim or in the ponds where they swim. So we don't have to make sure that they have what to eat. They're taken care of already, and therefore we have no right to feed them on Yontif. According to that explanation, it may be that the iser of feeding fish is considered a tircha. And that's why it's usur. And if that would be the reason why it's usur, then it would only be usur where it involves perhaps doing a melacha d'oraisa, where somebody was just throwing some crumbs into where the fish are swimming, which doesn't involve tircha, then it wouldn't be usur. Certainly, if one would have a fish tank at home, where the fish may not have that much to eat in the fish tank unless you put in food into the fish tank. Moreover, there's no hatsah, you're not carrying by putting something into the fish tank, and it doesn't involve much tircha, then it would be mutter. But the Chasam Sofer has an entirely different approach why one may not feed fish. The Chasam Sofer's approach is because since it's included in the Isser of Tzeda, because what happens is when you pour food into the fish tank, the fish all gather around the food. And since the fish all gather around the food, the Chasam Sofer says that it's considered like your tzeda, you're causing them all to gather together. Other Rishonim explain that, as we said a few moments ago from the Tosfos and other Rishonim, fish are muksa, and the Rambam holds the fish are muksa. And included in the Isser muksa is that doing anything that will on behalf of the muksa, and therefore feeding the fish, which are muksa, are also included in the Isser. Tosfos says that the reason one may not feed fish on Yontif is connected to the Isser Tzeda. We began our shiur today by discussing that there is an Isser Tzeda when somebody catches fish. So Tosfos wants to suggest that feeding the fish is included in the Isser Tzeda, and that's why Tosfos says that Mishnah teaches us that we're not allowed to feed fish. Aval, sadan chai v'oif min abibrim, we could take an animal or bird from an enclosed area where they used to domesticate and grow these animals and birds. V'noisen l'fnei mezoinus, and furthermore, we could give them mezoinus. The animals cannot be fed any other way, and since they can't be fed any other way, that's why it's something that we're obligated to feed. And as we said a few moments ago, something that we're obligated to feed, we're allowed to feed on Yontif. Moreover, as we're going to discuss in the Gemara, we're speaking here about a biber cotton. We're speaking about a small enclosed area, and since it's a small enclosed area, therefore they're already considered caught. And as we just discussed, the Isser of feeding may be very much connected to the Isser of Tzeda. So if they're in a place where there is no Isser Tzeda, there won't be an Isser to feed them either. However, the Meiri points out that the only animals that were allowed to feed on Yontif when they're in this small enclosed area is if those animals were in that area already before Yontif. But if they only entered that area on Yontif, the Meiri says, those animals we may not feed on Yontif. And moreover, says the Meiri, this that the Mishnah is allowing us to feed them, very much connected to the way we're explaining, is only in a place where there is no food available for them in this small area. But if there's food available to this, in them in this area, so as we mentioned, there's a concern of tircha and yontif, and here we have no right to be matriach ourselves to do this on yontif, where the animals could get the food without us being matriach himself. Says the Mishnah, Rav Shimon Gamliel Omer, lo kol bibim shovim, not all enclosed areas are the same. Zeklal, kol ha-mechusat tzeida, if it's a place where the animal cannot be easily caught, where we have to do something to catch the animal, in such a place where we can't catch the animal nor feed the animal. She'ena mechusat tzeida, but if it's a type of a place where it's not where there's no problem in catching an animal, and the Gemara will of course explain this, there halacha is mutter, we would be allowed to take the animals from there, and if we would also be allowed to feed the animals. Machlokes Rishonim, this rule that Rav Shimon Gamliel set forth now, is it only speaking about animals and birds, or is it speaking by fish as well? Is Rav Shimon Gamliel going to make this distinction only by animals or also by fish? The Rambam quotes the rule that Rav Shimon Gamliel just taught us, and he says that that rule applies by fish as well. The Ravid disagrees with the Rambam, and the Ravid holds that this is in Hilchos Yontif, Perek Beis, Halacha Zayin, and he holds that Rav Shimon Gamliel only spoke about Chaya V'Oif. But when we speak about fish, fish are always covered by the water. Fish are never exempt from the halacha of tzeda, and catching fish, even if they're in a small area, will always be considered that you did the malacha of tzeda. So I'll ask the Gemara that we just learned in the Mishnah that the animals and birds that are on the biber may be caught, and we may even feed them. Ask the Gemara, v'riminu, it says in a brice, "Bibim shalchayv shalayf." It's ain't sodom emiyontif. We're not allowed to catch an animal from such a biber. Ve'ain noisim lufneim zaynus, and we may not feed them. So ask the Gemara, "Kasha chaya chaya, kasha oifus oifus." We have a stira. In our Mishnah, we learned that we may take the chayv oifus from the biber, and we're allowed to feed them. And in the Mishnah, it says just the opposite. We may not do either. Says the Gemara, Bishlam Chaya Chaya Loi Kasha, we can reconcile the question by Chaya Harab Yehuda. The Brice that says we may not take animals from the Biber represents the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. Ha, the Brice, the Mishnah that says that we may, represents the opinion of Rabbanan. And the Gemara quotes the basis of this Machloikis, a Mishnah, Mesech the Shabbos, Daf Kuv Vav Omer Aleph. The Mishnah says there, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Hatzot Tzipur Lemigdol, if somebody chases a bird into a closet, with Tzvi Lebayis, or he chases a deer into the home, he's chai because of Tzod. But if he just brought the bird into a home, it's not considered caught, because it could fly out the windows. So we see Lebayis Hu D'Mechayif. When is there a chiyuv for catching a bird animal into the, so you chased it into the house. Av Lebibrim, if you chased it into a biber, there is no, it's not considered that you caught it. It's not considered that an animal that's in the biber is caught. The Chamayim, Tzipur L'Migdol, there's no chiyuv tzeida by a bird unless you caught it into a closet. Tzvi L'Gino L'Chatzul L'Bibrim, even if you caught it into a biber or to a yard, a chatzur, L'Gino, you're considered chayiv. So according to Yehuda, a chay that's in a biber is not considered caught. And therefore, if somebody causes an animal to run in there, it's not considered that he did the malachat seida. And therefore, the Brisa says that you're not allowed to put, you're allowed to chase it in there, but you're not allowed to feed it. According to Rachbanon, a chai and a biber is already considered caught. And therefore, if you try to catch it in there, you did the malachat seida. And therefore, also, if you feed it, you're allowed to feed it if it already finds itself there. But ask the Gemara, El Oifus, Oifus Kasha. We still have a question how to understand the the Mishnah's statement about Oifus. Because by Oifus, both the Chachamim and Rabbi Yehuda agree that when they're in a biber, they're not considered caught. And if we want to suggest, ha, the Mishnah that says that a bird and a biber is considered caught, it's talking about a biber makayr that has a roof, and since it has a roof, it's considered caught. For ha, the biber she'ena makura, where it doesn't have a roof. Says the Gemara, that doesn't seem to be correct. For a bayis, a home, also has a roof. The kabiba makayr dami, it has a roof, and we just quoted the Mishnah Masechta Shabbos, the Bein Rabbi Yehuda and Bein Rabbanon, Tzipra L'migdal In, when you chase a bird into a closet, it's considered that you did Melech Tzeda. L'bayis loy, but if you chase it into the house, it's not considered that you did Tzeda. And if when you chase it into the house, it's not considered Tzeda. Certainly when you chase it into a biber, even if the biber has a roof, it shouldn't be considered seder. So how do we say that when the bird is in the biber, it's considered caught? Answers the Gemara, Amar Rava Bar Avchana, Hocha, the Mishnah Masechta the Shabbos, is speaking about a specific type of bird. It's speaking about a Tzipa Dror Askinan, Shenem Kabel Mars. It's a type of bird, a small bird that lives amongst the trees. And Rashi says, Yoideas Leshamet. It always knows how to fly away. And because it knows how to fly away, it's difficult to catch. And therefore, it's not considered caught until you get it into the closet. The Tana de Beir of Shmuel, Loma Nikra Shmuel Tzipa Dror, where did it get the name Tzipa Dror? Shadar Babayis Kasod. It's a free bird. Anywhere it is, even when it's in the home, it's flying around. It can't be caught. Says the Gemara, now that the Gemara gave this differentiation, that there's a difference between if it has a roof, if the biber has a roof, it doesn't have a roof, chaya chaya, we don't have to differentiate and say that the Mishnah and the Mishnah and the Braisa, one represents the opinion of Yehuda, one represents the opinion of Yehuda, of Rabbanan, but we could differentiate between a biber cotton, a small biber, where it's easy to catch the animal, and therefore an animal in a biber cotton is considered caught, v'abba biber gadol, where it's not easy to catch the animal, and the animal is not considered caught. And therefore our Mishnah, which speaks about the biber and says that the animal is considered caught in the biber, is talking about a biber cotton. Ask the Gemara, so how do we identify? How do we know which is which? Answers the Gemara, Amar Ravashi. Kalaychad derot basrei, any biber that somebody who's running after an animal, umotile bechad shia, and he could catch it with one grasp, that's considered biber cotton. Vidach, any other size biber, is considered a biber gadol. Inami, another way of identifying what is a biber cotton and what is a biber gadol. Kalaychad ikka uksi, wherever the biber has different types of corners where the animal could escape to, that's a biber gadol. Vidach, any other type of biber is going to be considered a biber cotton. Inami, another way of differentiating between a biber gadol and a biber cotton. Kol heichad nafli tula de kasle adadi. It's so small that the shade of one wall hits the other wall. And that's how Rabbeinu Chananel explains. Rambam says he's a little more lenient. As long as the shade of the two walls meet in the middle of the biber, that's already considered a biber cotton. Anything else is going to be a biber gadol. We learned in the Mishnah, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Aymer, Loi Kol Bibrim Shavim. Not all biberim are the same. It matters if it's a biber that the animal or bird are mechusat seida versus one where it's not mechusat seida. Amar Rabbi Yosef, Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Mishmul, Halacha, Shimon Gamliel. That is the halacha. Says Abaya, comments Abaya, halacha, the fact that Rabbi Yosef said in the name of Shmuel, the halacha was Shimon Gamliel, Mechlal the Pligi. It seems that the Rabbanan are arguing with Shimon Gamliel and don't want to agree with this distinction that he made, whether it's Mechusat Seida or not Mechusat Seida. But the difficulty with that is that we just finished learning that even the Chachamim who are lenient are only lenient in a biber cotton, where it's easy to catch the animal or the bird. So it seems that Rav Shimon Gamliel and the Chachamim are actually in agreement. Amalei, so asks Abai to Rabbi Yosef, why are you suggesting, the way you stated your point, it seems that Rabbi Shimon Gamliel and the Rabbanan are arguing, and you're paskening like Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel. There's no machloikis. Amalei, so Rabbi Yosef said, and what's the difference in what I said? If the Chum agree or they don't agree, I'm saying the halacha follows of Shimon Gamliel. So what's the difference how it's phrased? Amalei. So he said, Gemara is Marta Tehei. We can't learn a Gemara without understanding it properly. The Gemara is not a song. The Gemara is something that we're supposed to understand. And as the Meiri explains, you're not Mekayim Mitzvah Talmud Torah unless you understand what you're learning. So it's critical to understand what is the opinion of the Rabbanan and what is the opinion of Rav Shimon Gamliel. Even if we're clearly indicating that the halacha follows the opinion of Shimon Gamliel, we're still obligated to know what each opinion holds. So we learned, Rav Shimon Gamliel taught us, Zeklau, kol mechus tzeida, if it still needs to be caught, then we may not feed it. If it's not mechusat tzeida, we may feed it. Heichidami mechusat tzeida. So the Gemara wants to identify what is or isn't mechusat tzeida. Amar Rav Yosef and Rav Yehuda Mishmu. Kol sh'ayim avah tzudim and tzendena. Wherever somebody says that you have to bring a trap to catch the animal or the bird, that is considered mechusat tzeida. Amar Abaya, is that the rule for avzim v'tanagoyim, geese and chicken, shoyim ravot tzudim and tzedena, the way they normally are caught, even when they're in the chicken coop, is by bringing some sort of a cat trap. But Tanya, yet we learned in the Braisa, hatzot avzim v'tanagoyim, v'yonah ha'dusoyis, is potter. So we see that the bringing the trap is not what counts. Omrav, v'arifuna mishmul, halolo, the reason, even though avzim v'tanagoyim, we bring a trap to catch them, they're still not considered mechusat tzeida, because halalu boin lekluvim l'erev. They on their own come every back night back to the chicken coop. Halalu ain't boin lekluvim l'erev, and they don't. So, in according the Gemara is saying that you have to have two conditions. One is that they come back to the chicken coop at night, and one is the other is that they don't. Ask them about Yoni Shoymich for Yoni Aliyah, the Boyan Lekluvim L'Erev, these doves that come back to their nest in the night. And yet, Tanya, Tzod Yoni Shoymich for Yoni Aliyah, Tzod Mishikinu B'Tepichim, the type of a bird that they put into a earthenware keli, B'Birois, and you bring them into the big houses, Yechayiv. So you see, the fact that they come back at night or not shouldn't make the difference. Ella, Amar Rav Rafuna Mishmul, there are two conditions that have to be met. They have to be born in the klum of Erev, they come back to the nest in the evening, and Mizonosim Melecha, you feed them. And since you feed them, that's why they're considered like a domesticated animal, and since they're defeated like a domesticated animal, that's why when you have both conditions, it's considered already caught. Davni Nezer adds another dimension. He says, if these animals have no other way to find food besides you feeding them, so they're certainly going to come back at night. So the way that Avni Nezer is learning the Gemara, not that it's two separate conditions, but what he means to say is that it's one condition. It comes back at night. Why would it come back at night? It would come back at night because it needs to have food. And that's what causes it to come back at night. Rameri Amar, Rameri says a different distinction. Hani, the Yoive Shayevach and the Yonaliya Avidal Rabuya, they're ultimately going to fly away. And therefore, they're not considered that the caught. They always try to fly away if somebody tries to catch them. Hani, whereas the other birds that we're speaking about, loy avidil rabuyi, they don't usually fly away, they don't usually run away, and that's why not considered caught. Ask the Gemara, kulanami avidil rabuyi, every type of bird tries to run away when a person tries to catch it. Answers the Gemara, what it means to say is like this: Yoni Shavich Yoni Aliyah, don't even fly to their nest. They try to fly away. Whereas chickens and geese, even though they may try not to let themselves be caught, they will always return to the chicken coop. Our Mishnah continues discussing the halacha bal chayim and focuses on the muksa aspect of bal chayim. Says the Mishnah, Mitzudas chayiv oifis v'dogim. You have these different traps that were put out in erev yontif. Layitamem b'yontif. You may not take anything that's found in those traps on yontif. Elm ken yudeish netzodim erev yontif. Unless you could be certain that they were already caught from before yontif. Why? Because we know that the defining moment for muksa, we've discussed many times, the defining moment for muksa is bein hashmashes. So if it was caught before yontif, it didn't become muksa. But if it was only caught on bein hashmashes or later, it's muksa. And our Mishnah is teaching us that sofik muksa is also. And the Mishnah tells us there was a story where Nachri bought fish to Rav Gamliel. V'amar mutarim heim, the fish may be eaten. We don't have to be machmer because of safek muksa. El she'en ritzani l'kabem menu, I refuse to take gift from this person. But as far as the muksa element, the halacha was he didn't want to. So Rashi says ein ritzani l'kabem menu, she'en ritzani, we're enemies. But others explain it wasn't necessarily that Gamliel was an enemy of this person. What Gamliel meant to say was, "Sayne matanas yichya. I don't want to take gifts from other people, and that's why I don't want to take this fish that this Nachri brought for me, because it's something I don't want to take a gift from anybody." But ask the Gemara, "May Salister." Usually, in a Mishnah, when the Mishnah tells us halacha, and then the Mishnah tells us the episode is there to support the halacha that we just learned. But in this Mishnah, we find just the opposite. The Mishnah first tells us that if it's sofik muksa, we have to be machmer, and then the Mishnah tells us that Rav Gamliel says that the sofik muksa isn't what was concerning him. What was concerning him was that he didn't want to take a gift, says the Gemara. This is what the Mishnah teaches us. Sofik mukhan, if it's a sofik, if it's muksa or not, it's asur. Gamliel holds that sofik muksa is mutter. And then the Mishnah continues and tells us, Ma'isanami b'nachri echot, she'evi dogim l'gamliel, v'am mutarim, al she'en ritzon l'kabal menem. Amar v'yudam shmul, in halacha k'rav Gamliel, we don't follow the opinion of Gamliel, who's lenient with sofik muksa. Rather, we follow the opinion of Tanakama, who holds that sofik muksa is asur. V'ikad amasna l'ha. And some say this discussion goes as follows. The Tanya, there's a discussion about Sofik Mukhan. There's a question, what is the halacha on Sofik Muksa? Rav Gamliel matter, Rav Yeshua Oyser. Omer Rav Yehuda Mishmul, halacha Rav Yeshua. The halacha is like Rav Yeshua. In the previous version, it said, Ein halacha Rav Gamliel. But it didn't say halacha Rav Yeshua, because in our Mishnah, it didn't say that the opinion of the Tanakama, who holds that Sofik Muksa is Osir, is Rabbi Yeshua. But here, in the Ikka Damasni, they knew that whose opinion is it that holds that Sofik Muksa is Osir, Rabbi Yeshua. And that's why they're saying clearly that that's the opinion we follow. The Ikka Damasna, and some learn it regarding this Braisa. The Braisa says, Shoichten Minani Gorim. We ought to take an animal from a small biber, Beyontif, but we find an animal in a trap, we're not allowed to take that animal. If you found a trap broken from Erev Yontif, even though you didn't see an animal in the trap from before Yontif, it's clear that the animal was already caught from before Yontif. The traps were very long traps. And what happened was, when the animal falls into one side of the trap, it causes that the rest of the trap should collapse. And therefore, if we see before Yontif that the trap was collapsed, that is an indication that the animal was already caught before Yontif and Matarim. But but if we see that they got collapsed only on Yontif, so that's a raya that they were only caught on Yontif. That they were only caught on Yontif and Asurim. But ask the Gemara, Hagufakasha, we seem to have a contradiction. Amrit bar matzmu kukol me'erev yontif. If I found that the trap was collapsed from before yontif, be yidua should be erev yontif nitzaydu. That's an indication that the bird, that they were caught from before yontif. So what do we see? Pamad bar matzmu kukol. Only because I know that it was already collapsed before yontif, and that's a clear indication that the bird was already caught, the animal was already caught before yontif. Clearly indicating hasfieka. If we weren't quite sure. If they were caught before or after Yontif, the halacha would be asurin. But continues the Gemara, Eimah Sefer. Let's just learn the second part of the Brice that we just learned. Bo matzmu kukolim b'yontif. If we see that they collapsed on Yontif, so that's in the raya, the biduah should be Yontif nitzaydu, that they were caught on Yontif, and that's why they're muksa. Because, tam de bo matzmu kukolim. Because I found them only collapsed on Yontif. If I would have a suffix, it seems that the Braisa at this part were told the Me'erev Yontif Nitzaydu and they would be Matarim. So we have a stira. What is the halacha by Sofik Muksa? Answers the Gemara, Hachikama. This is the way to understand Rav Shimon ben Elazar. Ba Matzmu Kukolim Be'erev Yontif, if I find them collapsed from before Yontif, so be Yidush Me'erev Yontif Nitzaydu, that's clearly indication that this happened before Yontif or Matarim. Hasfeka. If I have a suffix, Nasa commission tzoy de biyontif, if a suffix muksa is equivalent to vaday muksa, where I know it's caught on yontif asurim. And says the Gemara, I'm Rav Yehuda, I'm a Shmuel Ocker of Shimon Elazar, and only when I know for sure that I was caught before yontif, and there's no question that they're not muksa, are they permitted? But even when there's just a question, suffix muksa were machmer, and this, the reason is obvious. Because it's a davar sheyesh lematirim. When we have a suffix, we always are lenient. Says the Mishnah, there was a story where Nachri brought fish to Rav Gamliel on Yontif, Vama Matarim. Says the Gemara, Matarim Lamai. What did Rav Gamliel mean when he said Matarim? So Rav Amar Matarim Lakabel. What he meant was that you're allowed to take them, you could move them. However, you're not allowed to eat them. And as Rashi explains, what Rav means to say is that halachically you should be allowed to eat them. Because if halachically you're prohibited to eat them, then halachically you would not be allowed to move them. Because anything that you can't eat becomes muksa. If it's not edible, if you're not allowed to eat it, it's muksa, you're not allowed to move it. Like we spoke about many times with the egg, the first mishnah of Masechta, the Beish Nol de Biyontif is muksa. And you're not allowed to eat it, and you also can't move it. What the Gemara means to say, what it means to say is that it's only usur because of a chumrah, and because it's only mechurma that it's usur, you're only not allowed to eat it, but you can move it. The Rashba disagrees, and the Rashba says that normally, indeed, the halach is that eating and moving travel together. Here we're talking that a guy brought it, and the guy's food doesn't need hachana. And therefore, something that the guy brought, we could be more lenient, and even though we're being machmer and not allowing it to eat, and usually if something can't be eaten, you can't move it either, here, it's going to be different. Says the Gemara, that was the opinion of Rav. The Levi Amar, Mataran, Bechila, it may be eaten, and certainly if they could be eaten, they certainly could be moved. Says the Gemara, Amar Rav, Loilam Yimna, a person should not miss being in yeshiva even one day. I and Levi were once in front of Rebbe, Kamal HaShmatza, when he said this halacha, that he explained what Rav Gamliel taught us in the Mishnah. Burta Omar, in the evening, when he tried to explain Rav Gamliel's opinion, he said, Mutarim b'achila, that when Rav Gamliel said Mutarim in the Mishnah, he meant Mutarim b'achila. But Safar Amar, but in the morning, when he was repeating the shir and explaining the opinion of Rav Gamliel, he said, Mutarim l'kabel. You're only allowed to move him, and you're not allowed to eat them. He said, Ano, davar b'be midrasha, I who was there at the shear, both at the evening and the morning, hadribay. So I was able to reverse and say that it's only mutter betilta, not bechila. However, Levi de lahavi be medrasha, Levi who was only there at the shear at the evening before, but not the next morning, loy hadribay, he didn't reverse himself because he didn't hear how Rebbe reversed himself. Meisvei asked the Gemara, it says in a brisa, Nachri shevi daron Yisrael, if a Nachri brings a gift to Yisrael, afilu dogem hamufalom, even fish that are fresh, that's still wet, so it's clear they were only caught today, or peris bnei yoyman, or fruit that were just detached today, mutarim. So this brisa follows the opinion of Gamliel, who obviously is mekel with muksa. So Bishlam Mandam Mutarim Lakabel, according to the opinion of Rav, who says that when Reb Gamliel says Mutar means Mutarim Lakabel, Shapir, we could understand this brisa well. This brisa, when it says Mutarim, is only speaking about Tiltal, but not with Achila. El Lamanda Omer, Mutarim. That when Reb Gamliel says Mutarim Bachila, Paris Mene Yoyman, is it, can anybody hold that fruits that were caught today, mutarim b'achila, mishar b'achila, nobody, that's certainly muksa. And even Reb Gamliel, who's being lenient in our shir, is not lenient on something which is vadei muksa. Ask the Gemara. Ultameich. So you're saying that if pshat is that it's muta b'tiltol, then we could understand. But if it's muta b'achila, we can't understand. But ask the Gemara, is that true? Peiris b'nei yoyman, fruits that were only detached on Yontif are certainly muksa. And if they're certainly muksa, mishar betiltel, may we move them? Muksa may not be moved. Ella, how must we understand the brisa? We're not speaking about fish or fruit that was certainly caught today. We're talking about bekavri dadimi, that they're red. And that's why they look fresh. Or peri de kavishi biyarka. We're talking about fruit that they were put amongst vegetables, that they keep their moisture, askimam. And that's why they're not bnei yoyman. They weren't necessarily caught today. It's a suffix. And if it's a suffix, Rebbe Gamliel, as we've been learning in our entire shir, is lenient by suffix muksa. But now the question is, if we're not certain that they were caught today, so if I might call them bnei yoyman, how are we calling them bnei yoyman? Says the Gemara near bnei yoyman, as if the Shita explains, if you don't look at them carefully, if you only see them from afar, they look like the bnei yoyman. But in truth, they weren't bnei yoyman; they were only suffik muksa. And as we've been discussing, Reb Gamliel has a very lenient approach towards suffik muksa, certainly when it was delivered by a nochri.